This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. Rwanda means the universe is a lesson in the Rwandan language, Kinyarwanda. It's also the title of a new book about the genocide that unfolded there. Rwanda means the universe is also the statement of the thesis of its two authors, that what happened in Rwanda was not unique to its social or ethnic divisions. It was complex, it was modern, it was systematic. It raged across Rwanda in the weeks after Easter of 1994. American journalist Jack Kramer is one of the authors.
State executioners and local volunteers swarmed over the landscape, house to house, hut to hut, hedge to hedgerow, catching and dispatching more than three times as many people as Al-Qaeda did when it dropped the World Trade Center. That's not how many they killed altogether. That's how many they killed every day. Twin towers of humanity go down three times a day, every day, for 100 days. This book does not detail that crime. Within the frame of one farmer's family, it digs at its roots. It ends when the evil blooms. The narrator is one of the farmer's grown daughters. Her story is fact.
And she is Louise Mushikiwabo, a Tutsi who had moved to Washington in the 1980s to work as a translator. Of her family back in Rwanda, how many lived and how many died?
16 perished, 5 survived. This is mother and brothers and their families, their kids, total 16 people.
Three generations of
your family. Correct.
The book that Louise Mushikiwabo and Jack Kramer have written together is called Rwanda Means the Universe, a native's memoir of blood and bloodlines. It's a book about her family, her country, and the events that led to the genocide that unfolded 12 years ago this spring. And when we say the events that led to the genocide, we don't just mean the tensions between the people we call Hutu and Tutsi, or Rwandans would speak of as Bahutu and Batutsi. Mushikiwabo and Kramer delve back to the evolution of a Tutsi aristocracy and the racial myths imported to Rwanda by its most meddlesome tribe, the Bazungu. Louise Mushikiwabo, who are the Bazungu?
The Bazungu are the white people that came to Rwanda. The alliance of the Bazungu and the Batutsi at the end of the 19th century was a very interesting phenomenon because the split between the Bazungu and the Batutsi that occurred at the time of independence in the early 60s made the Bazungu make a complete turn and support the Bahutu, the majority that, in their words, deserved a bigger share of the Rwandan cake. And in my mind, that's when the seeds of the genocide were planted.
You're not giving the Rwandans themselves an easy ride here. I mean, there is, when Americans read of a mass slaughter predominantly of one people by another people, instantly people rush to notions of ancient rivalries and hatreds that have long been festering throughout history. There must be something that the Hutu felt against the Tutsi that permitted this to happen. I mean, it wasn't entirely implanted in their minds by Europeans, was it?
Well, you're absolutely correct. One of the reasons I wanted to write this particular book was to show that the Rwandan genocide is not different from any other genocide. I believe that genocide was planned, it was conceived as a project, and it was carried out. And the planners needed good tools to use. So the first one that comes to mind, of course, is the history of differences between the Hutu and the Tutsi that were exacerbated, exaggerated, and of course, add that to massive propaganda, and that's exactly what happened.
And even more basic than that, Jack Kramer, as I understand it, you find the ideas underlying a divide in Rwandan society that we would describe as tribal, that's a European import. That's an idea that the Bazungu brought to Rwanda.
Absolutely. Quite a few areas in Africa are not tribal, and Rwanda is one of them. It's a caste system, really. There's a ironic coincidence of some of the foremost ideologues who came up with eugenics and racial hygiene and many of the virulent racist ideas coincide very neatly with, physically, with Rwanda itself, with Richard Burton and John Hanning Speke, who were searching for the source of the Nile, which is in Rwanda, never found it, but did come out with what Speak calls the theory of the conquest of inferior by superior races. Mm-hmm. And from there on, it just got worse.
Which do the two of you think is closer to the truth today, that if a number of Batutsi refugees were to return to Rwanda at this time, Rwanda could be a country where such things would not happen again, or that at any given year somebody could ignite another wave of genocide and this could happen again?
I'm absolutely convinced that there will never be a genocide in Rwanda for many reasons. One, I think, is that the victims and the perpetrators have had a lot of soul-searching, and that makes me very confident a genocide will never happen again.
There's loads of truth to what Louise just said, but I'm the gloomy half.
You think it could happen again?
I think it could happen, and scholars identify particular qualities in genocide, and a key one is the intent to exterminate a minority, and the Batusi are a distinct minority and always will be.
Yeah, I have to disagree with Jack, because what Jack is saying would only be possible if the killings were a spontaneous act. You know, the Rwandan genocide had a very critical and modern element, mm-hmm. and that was the power of the media. The propaganda in the 1994 genocide cannot be underestimated. The radios, the newspapers. We have an interesting chapter in Rwanda Means the Universe entitled The Genocide Group. I think that chapter explains very well that the genocide was run like an American corporation, with a CEO, with a CFO, with the media, with the marketing people. And it was done in a very, very careful and sophisticated way.
Well, Louise Mushikiwabo and Jack Kramer, thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
That's Louise Mushikiwabo and Jack Kramer, the authors of Rwanda Means the Universe. You can read an excerpt from their book at our website, npr.org.